Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Diplomats meeting in Rome have agreed on getting an international force into southern Lebanon, but they are still disagreeing over whether there should be an immediate ceasefire. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is sticking to the U.S. position that an end to the violence must be sustainable. A seven-story building that housed the office of Hezbollah's commander in South Lebanon is now a pile of rubble. Israeli warplanes took it out today. Israel also confirming its worst one-day losses since the fighting in Lebanon started 2 weeks ago. Eight Israeli soldiers died in an ambush by Hezbollah. A 17-day hunger strike and a hospital stay apparently did nothing to calm down Saddam Hussein, the one-time dictator of Iraq. Every bit as feisty when he was brought back to his trial today. He had some angry exchanges with the judge. The judge accused Saddam of inciting violence against Iraqis. Saddam told him that was wrong, that he was, quote, inciting the killing of Americans. Final summations expected tomorrow, after which the five-judge panel will make a decision. A verdict could come in the middle of next month, right before Saddam faces yet another trial. He made it clear today that if convicted, Saddam would rather face a firing squad than be hanged. Former President Gerry Ford released from a hospital today, according to the Vail Valley Medical Center in Colorado. The former president treated there for 2 days after some shortness of breath. After his release, Ford returned to his home in nearby Beaver Creek at age 93. Gerry Ford is the nation's oldest living former president. He was hospitalized in California earlier this year for 12 days, treated for pneumonia. Andrea Yates has been found not guilty by reason of insanity in the drownings of her children. The prosecutor says she's disappointed that after 5 years of trying to seek justice for these children, Yates was acquitted. Five children were drowned in the bathtub. Yates was on trial for only three of the killings. She was convicted of murder in 2002, but that was overturned because a government witness lied. Today's verdict means Andrea Yates goes to a mental hospital for life rather than to prison. The 17-year-old accused of being Indiana's highway sniper pleading not guilty. Zachariah Blanton faces murder, attempted murder, and criminal recklessness charges in the shootings on Sunday along two Indiana interstates. One man was killed, another wounded. A judge set December 13th as a tentative trial date. This is Air America Radio News.
Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for joining us this evening. I wish I had some fun things to talk about tonight, but don't. So it's probably going to be a rocky ride again. I know, I'm getting sick of it, too. Really am. On a lighter note, though, before we get to the hardcore stuff, the shoe lady, Condoleezza Rice, pranced around Roma today, basically wasting time and taxpayer money on a pointless mission to broker a someday down the road, maybe after enough people have been killed, ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. We are supposed to believe that's a goal of Condoleezza Rice. Condoleezza Rice is the carnival barker. She's the one that they send out there to say, hiya, 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 step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Condoleezza Rice has as much business being Secretary of State as I do. But that's a different story. Meanwhile, back at the palace, Foxy the Snowman kept pounding the rhetoric that it's all Hezbollah's fault. We'll share some of that sound with you. It's amazing to me how the the old saw, the first casualty of war is truth. It never more on display than in this miserable situation, murderous and miserable situation now that's developed both in Gaza and Israel and southern Lebanon, all of Lebanon, actually. In yet another bit of playing God with women's bodies and women's privacy and playing election year politics, the Senate made life a little less safe for adolescent women today. They passed a law that I'm sure Bush will sign once the House version and the Senate version of this law is reconciled. But it's a bill designed to make it even more difficult for teens to obtain an abortion. And this particular law says that if a teenager in a state that requires parental notification or parental permission for an abortion is assisted by being taken out of state by another adult, grandma, minister, a cousin, to obtain an abortion, then that person transporting the girl out of state has just committed a federal crime. If the young woman is being sexually assaulted by her father repeatedly, or a family member, say a stepfather or father, you find a lot of that in the so-called Christian fundamentalist homes. That's part of the scam, you know. I'm the head of the household, these men seem to say. So if I want to sexually abuse my children, I'll do so. But if that young girl gets pregnant as a result of her father or stepfather molesting her, sexually abusing her, what is she to do? Is she to go to the father and say, hey, Dad, guess what? You knocked me up. As Dr. Laura would say, can I go over to Illinois and get an abortion? These greasy, nasty, fake Christian neocons just can't keep their sweaty noses out of young women's privates, can they, huh? Or privacy, I should say, I guess. Barbara Boxer had some words on this yesterday in the Senate. We'll show that or play that for you. And we have a guest tonight, Sean O'Donnell. He's a candidate for Congress in Virginia's 1st District. He's going to join us in a few minutes. His website is O'Donnell06.com if you want to check him out. O'Donnell, O'Donnell06.com. Right before the program, I got an email from a woman who has set up a website. Her name is Angie, and I want you to take a look. I went and took a look at it. It's a brand new website. It's PBS. Yeah, I know. It sounds like Public Broadcasting Service, but it's not. Or Public Broadcasting System, but it's not. PBS Blog. PBSblog.com. Angie's letter to me, she said, I've gathered over 100 hours of movies and radio programs that are the cream of the crop, and they will get people informed. She is billing this as an excellent place for all of us to get educated. This is kind of a clearinghouse, apparently. I went to the site, and the site only launched this week, so some of the pages on this website are not completely finished yet. but it is PBS, like in Public Broadcast Service, PBSblog.com. There are all sorts of films there. You can download them free. You got to check this out, PBSblog.com. Her name is Angie, and if you get a chance, go there, okay? Don't everybody go now. Don't crash her brand-new site, but check it out. The lies regarding what really happened, or the questions, let me be less harsh, the questions of what really happened a couple of weeks ago in Gaza and what really happened a couple of weeks ago in the southern part of Lebanon, northern part of Israel, the questions around those two incidences that resulted in a furious assault on Gaza and an even more furious assault on Lebanon by the Israeli Defense Forces, the questions are not to be asked. As a matter of fact, the questions surrounding the two incidents of the so-called kidnappings of two Israeli soldiers in the north, one Israeli soldier, and the deaths of two other soldiers in the south, the questions surrounding those two incidents are not to be discussed. In fact, it has been settled. It's already settled. The official story that in Gaza, Palestinian terrorists, through a series of tunnels, wormed their way out of Gaza into Israeli territory, attacked an Israeli army outpost, killed two soldiers, kidnapped Mr. Shalit, and are now holding him. That's the official story, and that resulted in the furious assault on Gaza and the deaths of so far scores of Palestinians, if not hundreds, in Gaza. See, we're not paying attention to that. And the other story, that Hezbollah sent a couple of its people or a squad of its people into northern Israel, and they captured, got into a firefight with Israelis, captured a couple of their soldiers, and took them back into Lebanon. Now, those are the two official stories, and they're not being questioned. They're accepted at face value to the extent that 94% of the United States Congress, that would be both the House and the Senate, have recently, past couple of days, passed joint resolutions throwing their entire support behind the state of Israel. No one wants the truth, whatever the truth is. The truth be damned. The truth be goddamned. It doesn't matter. There is to be no discussion. No discussion. According to mainstream papers in this country and commentators, the Hamas attack on June 25th that led to Shalit's capture was an unprovoked act of aggression, period. Now, what everyone's failing to mention is that the day before the Hamas attack, on June 24th, Israeli troops entered Gaza and abducted two Palestinian civilians. Now, we mentioned this the other night on the air, a doctor and his brother. The Israeli army insists that these two men are members of Hamas. Hamas says, no, they're not. But even if they were members of Hamas, while Israel has been pounding the hell out of Gaza and its civilians with hundreds of missiles per week, this new, what is it, 6-7 month old Hamas government in the Palestinian territories had been holding to a 16-month unilateral ceasefire with Israel. Now, were splinter groups firing rockets into Israel? Yes. According to the reports that we've all seen. The Israeli Haaretz published a report that suggested that Israel knew several months in advance that the tunnel attack was planned and allowed it to happen. To give them, you know, in the capture, the subsequent capture of Private Shalit, to give the IDF their excuse. This is not me talking. This is Haaretz talking. We'll be back in a second. This is Air America. I'm painting this pale blue Japanese guitar. The priest said,
God wants goodness. God wants light. God wants mayhem. God wants...
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
21 past the hour. you know, you can make a strong case that if the official stories are true, if Hezbollah attacked in the north, if Hamas attacked in the south, and the result of those attacks by and when I say Hezbollah attacked, you know what I'm talking about, a group of Hezbollah, a group, two or three Hamas in the south. If that truly happened, and these Israeli soldiers were captured, everything else being equal, you certainly could make a case for retaliation of some sort on the part of the IDF. The most rational response would be to go into the areas where their soldiers were captured and taken and get them back. Just like the most rational response from George Bush to the official story of what happened in this country on September 11th would have been an effort by Interpol, starting with Interpol, International Police Agency, and the secret services of all sorts of countries around the world to track down the people responsible for the planning of the events in this country on September 11, 2001, and bringing them to justice. But that's not what happened. The problem I have with this is that nobody is questioning. There are other reports. They don't show up in the American press. They show up in the press in the Middle East. They show up in the press in Israel. They show up in the press in Europe. They show up in the press in Asia. Perhaps they don't show up in the press in Israel. Criticism of Israel shows up in the press in Israel. It's not allowed even in this country. Now, according to the official story, the story we all are to rally around, no matter what the truth might be, we are to rally around this story no matter what the truth might be. This story might be the truth, but we are to not question it. On July 12th, Hezbollah captured two Israeli soldiers in what is referred to as a cross-border raid, Hezbollah into Israel, which Israel called an act of war, and which provided plausible justification for the current massive Israeli bombardment of Lebanon and its civilians. That's the justification. Now, when Israel crosses with tanks or missiles into Palestinian territories, the world sits on its ass and doesn't say anything. But when Hezbollah or Hamas, if this is the true story, cross into Israeli territory, so-called, well, okay, then we will murder, we will bomb, we will blow up an entire nation, Israel says. According to several non-Western or foreign language news agencies, they're all liars, right? It was Israeli soldiers who had invaded Lebanese territory, leading to the capture of two of their number by Hezbollah. An act that, definitely not an act of war, but something that goes on in these fluid borders between Israel and its enemies constantly. What is this? Is this something that hasn't occurred? Israel crosses over. Hezbollah crosses over. Hamas, Israel, Syria. Bam, bam, boom, boom. Why this time? Why this time an attack that so far has killed, what, 400 or 500, counting Gaza and Lebanon, 400 or 500, 600 civilians? And according to international relief agencies, at least a third of them, possibly a half, are children. What did these children do? Are these children Hezbollah? Are they Hamas? But we don't talk about this, you see. No, here's what we do in this country. The Democratic Party chairman, Howard Dean, today, he was in Palm Beach County at a gathering of Democratic professionals seeking money, I guess, 240 business leaders. And Howard Dean said that Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki of Iraq is an anti-Semite. An anti-Semite for failing to denounce Hezbollah for its attacks against Israel. Why an anti-Semite, Howard? Why not a misinformed? How about somebody who doesn't like Israel? Why an anti-Semite? Why that word, which means I want to kill all the Jews? You know it, Howard, as well as I do. Why use that term? Because Maliki condemned Israel's offensive. Because Maliki said he does not understand why the United States always, without exception, sides with Israel's activities. Isn't that questionable on any level? I mean, is that ever questionable? Ever? We don't side with any other of our allies 100% of the time on anything. So Maliki suggests that there is something else involved here, and Howard Dean immediately calls him an anti-Semite. An anti-Semite. All right. We'll have some more of this in a bit. We're going to talk with our guest here in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mulroy.
This is the Mike Mulroy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
to the Flying Monkey Rice, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Who made me judge and jury hear it?
Twenty-six before the hour. If you did your homework, you went to O'Donnell06.com and had a chance to take a look at Sean O'Donnell's website. He is running for the U.S. excuse me, U.S. House of Representatives in Virginia's 1st District, and he joins us now by telephone. May I call you Sean?
Please, Mike.
Hi, Sean. Welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you.
I was taking a look at some of your positions here on the issues. You state on your website that you subscribe to the same ideas that Representative Jack Murtha subscribes to regarding our situation in Iraq. Can you expand on that a bit?
Sure. Redeploying our troops from the wrong war at the wrong time for the wrong reasons it just makes absolute logical sense. We're in the middle of a civil war that's been going on now for over 3 years. If you did accept the Bush administration, or as you call it, very apropos, the Bush crime families description.
You know about that, huh?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And I know the history pretty well. It's some reality that we're trying to bring to the process. And if you accepted the weapons of mass destruction, then obviously George Bush's father, you know, George the First, wimped out. Our military left weapons of mass destruction capable of hitting the United States in the hands of somebody that they knew would use them against us. And I don't think either one of those things happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was politically and militarily the correct thing to do, to push them out of Kuwait. If they wanted to start a democracy somewhere, why didn't they start in Kuwait? Why didn't they start in Saudi Arabia? Why don't the reflections of the truth being things like, why were 15 of the 19 hijackers, terrorists that attacked us on 9/11 from Saudi, were all from Saudi Arabia, not one from Iraq, but we're going to go after them. And those are the kinds of things that we do need to talk about. We do need to talk about the lies that have been perpetrated, and the fact that the official truth is not the real truth. And that's what I'm about. I'm about going ahead and saying, during these serious times when they took us into this wrong war at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, where now the if you will, the steamroller effect that's happening across the Middle East is the Bush justification for we can wipe out anyone,
mm-hmm,
is going forward. And that's just wrong.
There are so many issues that need to be addressed, issues that seem to have been on the table one way or the other during the Clinton administrations, where as flawed as we were during those 8 years in a lot of issues, I had the feeling that there were some efforts being made to work through some real serious problems in this country. That has all disappeared now. Those issues still exist. But I have to ask you this, Sean. One of the things that has come up, one of the issues that has come up, and you just referenced it yourself, is the lies, or I should say are the lies, is the lies that we're told by this administration to take this country into a war. I can't think of anything more serious in terms of deception on the part of any administration, this country or any country, to lie your country, especially if you're running a democracy, to lie your country into war, to provide false information where you can get support from the Congress to take a nation into war. Having said all that, my question is simply, what do you think should be done when you're elected to the House and majority Democrats take over the U.S. House of Representatives and possibly the United States Senate, what should happen to Mr. Bush and his administration?
Well, certainly we have to go ahead and begin letting the people know the truth of what led us down this path. Certainly we have to begin going ahead and letting John Conyers have his head with the judiciary. And where that leads, I'm not sure. Certainly this president and members of his administration should be called into account. We should, certainly shouldn't have allowed the President of the United States to be giving medals to people who should be called to the dock to account for what they've done. Or give them the World Bank, as they did with Paul Wolfowitz. How can we go ahead and say that the World Bank should be run by somebody who made such a glaring error on just simply the cost of what this undertaking would have brought up? It's just, it's mind-boggling.
Again, recognizing that we have serious problems inside our own borders here, the question of immigration, that has to be addressed one way or the other. The cleanup in on the Mississippi and Louisiana Gulf Coast that is still nothing to the extent of bringing people back to their homes has been done. There is so much that needs to be addressed, but there is also this firestorm that is occurring not just in Iraq now, but in the occupied Palestinian territories and now in Lebanon. What do you feel you could do as a member of the U.S. House to try to reconcile what's going on in the Middle East?
Well, this administration and, you know, the Bush doctrine is really military might is right. And we've forgotten about diplomacy. We had 40 years of diplomacy in the Middle East. It's a very difficult issue. We've cracked open a situation in Iraq where we have the Shiite Sunnis and Kurds, and elements of them each want their own independent homeland. We're going to have some long-term issues that are going to need to be addressed, and they're going to need to be addressed in a very, very serious way. And whether or not we reward people with carrots or hit them with sticks is the very first question. And in terms of our military and protecting us, using the proper use of our military is got to be done, and you've got to look at the Bush doctrine of military might to do whatever they want. And that's the lead that each of these different elements are looking at. In Iraq alone, we're talking about 17 different militias that are major. And which ones are we going to disarm, and who are we going to arm is now the question that's before the Bush administration. Whether or not we establish permanent bases in Iraq is before this administration. Barbara Lee's, I believe it's HRES 197, I fully support not having any permanent bases. I would say that the better use of our money is here at home. A better use of our money is on the Coast Guard. We're spending some $8.4 billion per year in Iraq, and our own Coast Guard is looking at an entire yearly budget of $8.1 billion.
I would think at this point we were spending more than that, Sean, but I'll defer to you, since you would know these figures. What should be the U.S. Attitude toward Israel in these situations that have developed horrendously over the past 30 days, both in Gaza and Lebanon?
Well, the first question is, are we going to use diplomacy, or are we going to be gunboaters? Are we going to back up people with arms and fire at them, or are we supporting them with missiles to be able to hit indiscriminate targets in other areas? Are we going to wipe out the entire world in order to go ahead and have the rapture? I mean, we've got some crazy loonies out there that think that diplomacy is not the way of the future, and we've got to reverse that trend. Diplomacy is what this should be about. It should not be solving it with guns. We should be solving it with how can we work together and make things better,
all right,
make things worse.
If I'm hearing you right, you're suggesting a proactive effort in perhaps in the matter of Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton, where it concerns negotiations for some sort of peaceful settlement between the Israelis, the Palestinians, and these various groups. Is that what you're suggesting?
And I think on November 7th, when Democrats get swept into office in Congress, that's exactly the position that we're going to be taking, is let's put together the people that know what they're doing and send them over there, and let's get this situation under control. And I hate to say that we have to wait till November 7th in order to do it, but Condi Rice sure isn't. I mean, the carnival barker is going to go all over there and say that the Bush doctrine is in effect.
How concerned are you about the violations of law that the Bush administration is involved in where it concerns privacy of American citizens, monitoring, listening in on our phone calls without warrants that are easily obtainable from the FISA court? And the list is endless, and probably we have no idea the extent to which the Bush administration is committing these violations of law. What is the proper attitude concerning privacy for Americans?
The proper attitude towards privacy is privacy should be private. It should not be that the government can go ahead and do whatever it wants whenever it wants to do it, because we have George the Second in office. I bet Bill Clinton sits today wondering about privacy and what happened to his, because there's no way that a blue dress should have had the impact that it did when this administration goes ahead and lies to the American people repeatedly over and over again and has not been called into account once.
All right, Sean, I have to break here. If you can hold on, I want to ask you about health care and what you see as a proper response to the fact that at any given time about 40 million Americans are without health care. So if you hold on just a second. We're talking with Sean O'Donnell. He's running for Congress from Virginia's 1st District. Go to his website, O'Donnell06.com, even if you don't live in that district, because part of this is about money. So check it out.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
"Let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it."
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Oreck XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Oreck XL to you faster than you can say, "Why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too?"
We'll be right back.
because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. We're talking with Sean O'Donnell. O-D-O-N-N-E-L-L. Sean O'Donnell. The website is O'Donnell06.com. He's running for Congress from the 1st Congressional District in Virginia. I know that your opponent, if that's the proper way to put it, Joanne Davis, has some health issues herself, and I think anyone would wish her a speedy recovery from what she's dealing with. But as you point out on your website, she has not been exactly the type of congressional representative who has worked in favor of universal health care. What is your position on universal health care, Sean?
What she did do, though, is she voted for the No Pharmaceutical Company Left Behind Act.
Oh, my. Really?
You know, that's the way you don't want to deal with health care issues.
Awful lot of older folks are going to find out, starting in about a week, just how horrible a donut can be. But anyway, that's on the prescription drug plan.
Yeah. I was talking to a senior citizen in our district who had been paying 42 cents per month for his drugs and is now being forced into a program that's costing him $40 a month. What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, really. What do you think you can do about it, Sean?
One of the things that we can certainly do about it is we can do a better job of administering our health care, and we can open up our health care to single-party payer without any problems whatsoever. Social Security is one that I love to tout because we're out there with mutual funds costing some 3.5%, and the federal government administers Social Security for under 1% administrative fees.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of successes that Democrats have brought across the board for more than 70 years. And people need to understand that the continuous corporate mentality and rewarding the wealthiest is what the Republican Party has been all about. They would like their attitude is you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Democrats really are the party of the people, and I know that you've kind of fallen away from being a Democrat, and I can understand it. Certainly the things that we've done in the past haven't necessarily gone ahead and done anything that would make us look like we care about people. We haven't done enough to help people put themselves together, but we haven't done enough to move towards a real system of universal health care for all Americans. We haven't done enough to go ahead and make sure that we're taking care of our needs and our people. I mean, look at what happened in New Orleans. I will accept some blame on the part of all of us for allowing an administration like this to take us so far down the wrong road. We didn't do our job. We didn't run enough people. We didn't go ahead. We were allowed to be swift-voted. We were allowed to be hit by political terrorists. And I think we're working very hard as a party now to take that back.
So you're willing to consider the idea of single-payer health care on maybe based on one of the European government models or the Canadian government model. You're willing to consider?
36 industrialized nations that we compete with every day have some form of universal health care.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, we need to do that if we're going to compete on a worldwide basis. We're looking at a Norfolk, Virginia truck plant closing down in part because of health care costs.
Right. Well, look at General Motors. What did I read the other day? As much as $1,800 per automobile is a result of the deals they have had to make with the UAW to provide health care. I don't think it should be up to corporate America to provide health care, because in any manner, as the actual provider or as the third party, surely we've advanced beyond that. One little clarification, Sean. I'm still a Democrat. I'll be a Democrat. I'm a blue-collar coalition working-class Democrat, always will be. If I've gotten sour on the Democratic Party lately, it's because I have felt that the Democratic Party, the values in the party have changed when it was taken over by white Southerners who, in the Deep South here, who put together the Democratic Leadership Conference in order to win elections. That's my problem.
Well, I think if you look on my website, I talk about 12 core values of a Democrat. And I'm
a
Democrat.
That. Right, right.
I'd like you to, if you think that you're a Democrat, I hope you're subscribing to all 12 of those core values. And I'm pushing the fact that we as Democrats need to stand up. We need to walk tall. We need to go ahead and take our country back.
All right, Sean, we've got a minute left here. Not answering a question from me. Just what do you want to get out to the audience that's listening right now about your candidacy?
Folks, we have a message of positive change for America. There is hope on November 7th. We've got to do the work that it takes in order to go ahead and win the elections. We have to get the message out that things can be better, that George Bush and the right-wing Republican Party, the hard right, is going to go ahead and do everything that they can. They're going to throw every political trick in the book at us. They're going to swift boat us. They're going to be the political terrorists that they are. They're going to come after us. And folks, if you people stand up and work with us, we can go ahead and take our country back. We've got some great candidates in Virginia. Jim Webb is one, and I'm another. And I know that Virginia, if we can turn Virginia blue in this election, we're making progress for the entire United States of America.
Is your campaign flush with cash, or do you need contributions from people who may be listening tonight?
We're taking lots and lots of contributions. We've got an all-volunteer force that's working, and we are very, very short on any type of cash. So certainly, if you go and contribute tonight, it would be greatly appreciated.
All right, Sean, and at Sean O'Donnell's website, there is a button right there, Contribute, Help Out. So check out what this man has to say at his website. Check him out. Even if you don't live in the first district, you know what we're doing by having these kinds of candidates on. We're trying to return the Democratic Party to Democrats. Sean, thank you so much for checking in tonight. We'll talk again. Best of luck.
Thanks for the work that you've done, Mike, and I know that Molly has got a great dad working for her every night.
Thank you, sir. You take care.
Thank you.
All right, sir. O'Donnell06.com. Check him out.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Washington State Supreme Court today decided to uphold a ban on gay marriage. The state's highest court rejected arguments by 19 couples that the ban violates the state's constitution and its Equal Rights Amendment. coupled with a similar decision earlier this month in New York. That ruling leaves Massachusetts as the only state in the U.S. to permit gays to marry. Iraq's prime minister in the middle of telling U.S. lawmakers about a commitment to fight terrorism when he was interrupted by a protester. The joint meeting of Congress briefly disrupted by the woman yelling about bringing American troops home from Iraq. Nouri al-Maliki then continued his speech saying the U.S. and Iraq need each other. Maliki also pitched for a sustained U.S. involvement in Iraq, saying Iraqis, quote, will not forget the continued support from the U.S. In an echo of statements from George Bush, Maliki says Iraq is the battle that will determine the war. In apparent response to criticism that he has not condemned fellow Shiites for Hezbollah's fight against Israel, Maliki says he knows that some lawmakers question his country's commitment to ending terror attacks, but he says Iraq, quote, will not allow terrorists to dictate its future. Israel today took out the offices of the South Lebanon commander for Hezbollah, destroying an empty building. A dozen people nearby were hurt when the explosions hit the city of Tyre, the seven-story building heavily damaged. The injuries in a neighboring building, which was also damaged. Meanwhile, a top Israeli general says he expects his country's mission in Lebanon will continue for several more weeks. The Rome Conference on the Middle East adjourned today after Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and other diplomats from Arab and European countries failed to agree on a plan for a ceasefire to stop the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. The Bush administration insists the ceasefire not leave Hezbollah in position to continue attacks on Israel. The Rome Conference did express deep concern over civilian casualties and said an international force should deploy in South Lebanon when there is a ceasefire. A hospital spokesperson says Israel's former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is back in intensive care for kidney dialysis. Ariel Sharon has been in a coma since a massive stroke back in January. Health officials in Israel say his condition has deteriorated with kidney failure and a blood infection. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is Air America. My name is Mike Molloy. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. I want to play some of these sound bites from Condoleezza Rice today. It's just astonishing. But I'll let them speak for themselves. Somebody sent me an email. It says that it appears that Condoleezza Rice has lost her yogurt-eating smile. Yogurt-eating smile? Oh, did you go to pbsblog.com yet? As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I got an email from the person who has set that website up, pbsblog.com. There's all sorts of movies and radio programs, over 100 hours, Angie wrote, of movies and radio programs that are the cream of the crop, and they will get people informed. It's a brand new site, so put it in your favorite places list and go check it out. Again, during the last break, I took another look. There's some really good stuff there for a brand new site. Wow. PBS, just as though it were public broadcasting service. PBSblog.com. All right? Okay, come on, do it. Check it out. Check it out. Condoleezza Rice is in Rome, or was in Rome. I don't know where she is tonight. She might be in Crawford, Texas. Who knows? But she was in Rome, Italy today, where she attended a meeting that included the Italian foreign minister, UN Secretary General, Lebanese Prime Minister Fouad Siniora, and listening to the Lebanese Prime Minister, one of the clips I heard today of him speaking was just heartbreaking. It really was. So there she is, probably the most ineffective Secretary of State the country has had in modern times. But she looks good, and she's a front person for the Bush crime family, as George has said several times, in referring to her and formerly to Colin Powell. When someone accuses him of being racist, he just points to them. U.S. foreign policy, I think anyone with the sense Mother Nature gave a sack full of doorknobs understands that foreign policy is being made by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld. The State Department has not a damn thing to do with U.S. foreign policy, how it is put together, how it is implemented. And the U.S. State Department has no say as to what the repercussions, and surely there will be repercussions, as there are now. State Department has nothing to say about how those repercussions will be dealt with. U.S. foreign policy is being determined by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, period. That's it. End of story. Condoleezza Rice is a showpiece. She eases Bush from the charge, the legitimate charge, that he is a very, very much a racist white Southerner. He calls himself a Texan. Okay. It also diverts attention from the fact that Cheney and Rumsfeld are making policy. And it misleads the rest of the world into believing that the United States really does, under this administration, believe that women and people of color can be in positions of extreme power. Condoleezza Rice has as much power in determining U.S. foreign policy, truth seeker, as you do. So, the shoe lady pranced about Rome, smiling, waving, and of course failing to do anything except prattle on with that ridiculous schoolmarm tone and tempo and subject matter. She didn't even have anything to say to Kofi Annan about the apparent targeting by Israel of the UN Relief Center in Lebanon. Not a word. So one must wonder, what was the point to this sweaty little journey to Roma? Was she looking for the Ferragamo outlet store? Possibly.
I think that it goes without saying that this extraordinary gathering of the international community shows our deep concern about the situation in Lebanon, in northern Israel, in the region. We heard a very impassioned appeal from the Prime Minister of Lebanon, who I think put a human face for all of us on the suffering of his people. We all committed to dedicated and urgent action to try and bring about an end to this violence that indeed would be sustainable and that would leave the Lebanese government with the prospect of full control of its country. This is very important. We cannot, and I heard it many, many times during this conference, we cannot return to the status quo ante.
Status quo ante, okay, how things were before. Oh, wow. What is that? We know it's Latin, but what is that? Is that a term in diplomacy, or does it only apply to the Middle East? Or does it only apply to situations involving Israel and Lebanon, or Israel and Syria, or Israel and the occupied territory, or what? Status quo ante. Come on, Condoleezza. We know you're highly educated. We know you have a doctorate, or six, or 20. So what? The Prime Minister of Lebanon put a human face on the suffering of his people? Miss Rice! Go to the internet! You want to see a human face? I can direct you to the face of a 10-year-old whose face has been burned off by white phosphorus by the Israeli army. That's the human face of Lebanon, Condoleezza Rice. You want to see a human face? Go to the Independent of the UK. Go to its online site. Take a look at the covers over the past 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 days. You want to see human faces? They're all dead. But that's all right. War's a bitch, isn't it, Condoleezza Rice? Huh? A human face. Well. She says we all committed to dedicated and urgent action. Really? To try to bring about an end to this fight. Oh, yeah? Well, what did you get accomplished? Nothing. Nothing. And as far as status quo ante, isn't this interesting? Ms. Rice is in Rome, and this quivering moron, Tony Snow, is in D.C., and they both use the same phrase today. Probably the pig man did, and I wouldn't be surprised if little Sean Hannity did too, but anyway. All right, so Foxy the Snowman. Let's go from Rome to D.C. Foxy the Snowman steps up to bat with his talking points, ready to ante the status quo or some such nonsense. But be clear about this. He's staying on his simplistic message that Israel's killing, good. Hezbollah killing, bad. Reporter asked about Israel's bombing of the U.N. post, killing 4 U.N. workers. Like, as if someone cared about that in this country. But anyway, the reporter says, quote, this Israeli strike on the U.N. post in Lebanon now, how worried is the White House that it's going to complicate efforts to get agreement on the details of how to end the violence, and how worried are you that it's going to reduce patience overall with the Israelis? The Israelis have said they were not deliberately targeted. Does the president accept that, Mr. Snow?
I think those are all speculative questions. It's what the Israeli... I think you take the Israelis at their word, but also the Israelis are doing an investigation into it, and they're trying to figure out precisely what happened. It's a terrible thing. There's no denying it. But on the other hand, it's also equally important to recognize that the conditions on the ground where Hezbollah has actively jeopardized the Lebanese democracy by acting independently and acting in a manner waging its own acts of violence on a sovereign state nearby, that has to be addressed. That status quo ante, to have Hezbollah free to do those things, simply cannot exist and persist.
But the conditions in the so-called refugee camps that have been in place for 50 years now, those conditions can exist and persist? Hmm? The Israelis are investigating. Didn't the Israelis investigate the Rachel Corrie murder, Tony? Hasn't there been investigation after investigation regarding the deliberate violent acts of not just the IDF, but also of the U.S. military? And what happens when these investigations are carried out to their endpoint, Tony? Who is charged here in the United States for vicious acts? A private may go to jail, or a sergeant may get busted, but an investigation, Tony? Okay.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. We're still with Foxy the Snowman at the White House Live Fest today. Today is Live Fest. Another reporter asked about how much patience the world is supposed to exercise in waiting for Israel to stop bombing Lebanon. Reporter says, so, are you saying that there's no sense yet so far that the patience with the Israeli campaign is reducing?
The presumption of the question is that there's lurking impatience. What we're trying to do, again, the onus here goes on Hezbollah, not on Israel. But in terms of patience, impatience, I'm not sure it's helpful to characterize it that way. I'm not sure even if I knew some way to calibrate it, I could describe it.
Why is the onus on Hezbollah and not on Israel? Is there even the possibility of some shared onuses? What's an onus? Is that like an anus? What's an onus, Kathy? Do you have any idea? I don't know what an onus is. You don't want to look it up for me? All right. Never mind. The onus here, again, the onus here, you know, it's a statement of fact. The onus here goes on Hezbollah, not on Israel. Just like that. Boom, 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 boom. Like it's Iraq's fault. It's in the mess it's in, not ours. It's Iraq's fault. You know, if they're losing 3,000 people a month now, civilians being blown into red mist because they're in the middle of a religiously fueled, hate-filled civil war, which is what most religiously fueled civil wars produce, is millions of pieces of human bodies flying all over the landscape. So it's Iraq's fault that their people are blowing each other up. It is Hezbollah's fault. It's the Palestinians' fault for having the utter temerity to have been living where they were living for a couple of thousand years, and then having the United Nations in 1948 say, okay, the jig is up here. This is now going to become Israel, and you people already living there. Don't know what to tell you. So when you get right down to it, it's the Palestinians' fault. If they could have just left, and what we had a caller the other night said just moved into Transjordan. Of course, Transjordan doesn't exist anymore, but moved into Jordan, or the Palestinians could have left and moved into the Sinai, maybe. That's a good place to live. Isn't that where Moses wandered around for about 40 years? Not Sinai? Okay, where? Well, there's Jordan, there's Sinai, there is the Golan Heights. They could have gone to Syria. Lebanon. Why didn't they go to Lebanon? Oh, that's right. They were in Lebanon. And the Israelis insisted they get out. Okay. What the Palestinians need to do to satisfy the Israelis is just die. Just disappear. And apparently that's what the Lebanese need to do, too. On the other hand, that's exactly what the Israelis need to do to satisfy the Palestinians or the Hezbollahians or, whoever the hell these people are. That's what needs to be. Everybody needs to just die. Just lay down. Everybody in the Middle East, lie down. First, suffocate all your children or cover them in burning white phosphorus. But murder the children, whether they're Israeli children or Palestinian children or Lebanese. Kill them all. Because, who wants a bunch of orphans running around? Kill them all, and then all the rest of y'all lay down and die. And then the whole thing stops, right? That's it. It's very simple. So, Tony Snow says there's a presumption in the question that there's lurking impatience. Nah, hell no, Tony. There's no lurking impatience. This war has been going on, Tony, since before you were born. And it'll be going on long after you're dead. So, forget the lurking impatience, Mr. Snow. Thanks to Bush's murderous foreign policy, any nation can bomb the bejesus out of any other nation and just say, hey, they started it. They looked at me funny. Hey, they don't believe in the same God I believe in. Hey. Besides, they might have weapons and stuff, and they, captured two of our soldiers. The reporter asks, what, if anything, came out of Condoleezza's seemingly pointless visit to Rome to meet with foreign leaders? Reporter says, Tony, characterize for me, if you will, after the Rome meetings, are we any closer to stopping the violence?
The violence starts with Hezbollah. And we don't stop the violence, they do.
Wow.
Now, I want to say that as preface, Jim. It is pretty clear now with the G8 statement and the Rome statement, and also actions that have been taken within the region, that it is realized that Hezbollah is a threat to peace in the region. And there is also the recognition that Iran and Syria play a role in supporting and funding Hezbollah.
So I guess that's a no, then? Is that a no? I asked you if after the Rome meetings, were any closer to stopping the violence? Yeah, Hezbollah, they're a bunch of evil sons of bitches, aren't they? The Hezbollahians and the Hamasians, they've got all those nuclear weapons and that massive, sophisticated military, and they're constantly raiding into Israel. And let's see, I think the Gazans now have, the Palestinians have 8,000 Israelis in prison. A lot of women and children. Yeah, they're real bastards. You're absolutely right.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience.
No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
and conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. By the way, it's being reported at Harper's.org, Harper's Magazine, Harper's.org. U.S. troops could end up in Lebanon. Ken Silverstein, writing there today, says there's much discussion of putting a multinational NATO-led force in southern Lebanon. Blah, 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 blah. Secretary of State Rice, according to a story in the Washington Post, has said that she does not think that it is anticipated the U.S. ground forces are expected for that force. However, a well-connected former CIA officer has told me that the Bush administration is, in fact, considering exactly such a deployment. The officer, who had broad experience in the Middle East while at the CIA, noted that NATO and European countries, including England, have made clear that they are either unwilling or extremely reluctant to participate in an international force. Given other nations' lack of commitment, any so-called robust force between 10,000 and 30,000 troops would by definition require major U.S. participation. And it goes on. You can read it yourself. Jesus. The former CIA officer said that the Bush administration seems not to understand Hezbollah's deep roots and broad support among Lebanon's Shiites, the country's largest single ethnic bloc. He says, quote, a U.S. force is going to end up making, not keeping, peace with Hezbollah. Once you start fighting in a place like that, you're basically at war with the Shiite population. That means that our soldiers are going to be getting shot at by Hezbollah. This would be a sheer disaster for us, end quote. That's the macho cowboy, sickening little weasel bastard stuff that we're caught in because of this freak that occupies the White House and the freak that occupies the vice presidency and the super freak that occupies the chair of the Department of Defense. We're being managed by madmen. Back to Tony Snow, last one. The plucky reporters refuse to take no for an answer, so they keep trying to get Tony to tell them why Condoleezza Rice was in Rome, other than the fabulous shoe opportunity. Now, you can file the answer to this under, why are you the press secretary then? Here's the question. Let me ask the question another way. Tony, someone is going to hear that there was a meeting this morning. Oh, Secretary of State Rice was in Rome, met with key members of the international community. The question is going to be, are we any closer to getting this thing stopped? What's the answer? Are we close to a ceasefire?
You've got to get the people who are doing the fighting to stop, and that begins with Hezbollah. Hezbollah being the instigator, that is the key element here. And the answer is, I don't want to get in the position of assuming a godlike view of being able to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, because I don't think it's a question that I can answer or anybody else can answer.
A godlike view? You're the press secretary, you halfwit. And Hezbollah. Somebody ought to find this jerk's off switch. You know, we've been listening to this tune all week. We've heard it three times now from him in this little toy press conference. But he says, I don't want to get in the position of assuming a godlike view. No, that's right. That's Bush's job, right? God talks to him. I wonder if God is telling him, George, I'm thinking about having you invade Lebanon. Tell the shoe lady to insist that there be no troops in southern Lebanon. But George, just between you and me and my thunderbolts, George, I think it's time for you to invade a third country, and I think it's going to be Lebanon. All right, George, are you walking with me here, George? You listening? George! This is God! Put the booze down! Get off your bike! It's me, God! Lebanon's next! Tony Snow says, I don't think it's a question that I can answer, anybody else can answer. You know, are we close to a ceasefire? But isn't that pretty much your only job, you freak, is to answer questions like that from the crack White House press corps? No, it's not. Why don't you go back to Fox News then? I got this email from one of our listeners. Last week's stunning, barely reported news, it says here. It happened last Tuesday. July 18th in the Senate, and last Thursday, July 20th in the House. Both houses of Congress, including Nancy Pelosi and more than 90% of the House Democrats, voted to, quote, reaffirm their steadfast support for the state of Israel, close quote. And to set the stage for an expanding war by, among other things, urging Bush to impose sanctions on Syria and Iran. The House bill, House Resolution 921, among other things, quote, urges the President of the United States to bring the full force of political, diplomatic, and economic sanctions available to the government of the United States against the governments of Syria and Iran, end quote. The Senate bill, Senate Resolution 534, among other things, quote, urges the President to use all available political and diplomatic means, including sanctions, to persuade the governments of Syria and Iran to end their support of Hezbollah and Hamas, close quote. Now my emailer writes, almost no one seems to be reporting this story or raising the obvious question, if peace is to have a chance, must we work to replace 90% of the House Democrats this fall? Both bills praise Israel for complying with the UN resolution that passed, that was resolved in 1978, and Israel finally complied with it in 2000. 22 years later, calling for Israel to withdraw its forces from Lebanon. Took them 22 years. And the Democrats in the House and Senate praise Israel for that. Bless you. We passed, the UN passed a resolution in 1978. You complied with it in the year 2000. Okay. Now, both bills expressed dismay over Lebanon's failure to comply with the 2004 UN resolution calling for, quote, the complete withdrawal of all foreign forces from Lebanon and the dismantlement of all independent militias in Lebanon, close quote. Now, you know, neither bill in the House or the Senate offers even a hint that Lebanon will be given the same 22 years to comply with the UN that Israel apparently was allowed, right? No, it's not there. So, the Senate bill passed on a voice vote. And who do you suppose was the sponsor? That's right, Bill Frist. The 61 sponsors of that bill included Harry Reid, Joe Lieberman, McCain, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Carl Levin, Teddy Kennedy, John Kerry, Russ Feingold, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell, Ron Wyden. The House bill passed on a roll call vote with 410 members voting yes, 8 voting no, 4 voting present, and 10 not voting. So, 410 yeses, that's 94% of Congress. 223 of the yeses were Republican, 186 were Democrats. Now, who were the 22 voices in the House that said no? Democrats Abercrombie, Conyers, Dingell, Kilpatrick of Michigan, McDermott, Rahill, and Stark. And, of course, Republican Ron Paul. Voting present were Democrats, this is kind of cowardly, Kaptur, Kucinich, Dennis, please, Barbara Lee, Maxine Waters, and the best-known name among the 10 not voting is Cynthia McKinney. I think she's in Georgia trying to fend off an attack by both Diebold and her opponent in the runoff here coming up in a couple of weeks. Paul Craig Roberts wrote the following. It's at antiwar.com. It's an excerpt from The Shame of Being an American. Paul Craig Roberts, you know who he is? He's a former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal, former assistant secretary of the U.S. Treasury. He writes, on July 20th, the House of Representatives voted 410-8 in favor of Israel's massive war crimes in Lebanon. Not content with making every American complicit in war crimes, the House of Representatives, according to the Associated Press, also condemns enemies of the Jewish state. Condemns enemies of the Jewish state. Who are the enemies of the Jewish state? Paul Craig Roberts asks, and he answers it. They are the Palestinians whose land has been stolen by the Jewish state, whose homes and olive groves have been destroyed by the Jewish state, whose children have been shot down in the streets by the Jewish state, whose women have been abused by the Jewish state. There are Palestinians who have been walled off into ghettos, who cannot reach their farmlands or medical care or schools, who cannot drive on roads through Palestine that have been constructed for Israelis only. There are Palestinians whose ancient towns have been invaded by militant Zionist so-called settlers under the protection of the Israeli army, who beat and persecute the Palestinians and drive them out of their towns. There are Palestinians who cannot allow their children outside their homes because they will be murdered by Israeli so-called settlers, end quote. That is Paul Craig Roberts writing at antiwar.com. You can find it now if you, he just wrote it a couple of days last week, last Saturday, I believe. So, Howard Dean calls Maliki an anti-Semite because he condemns Israel's response or instigation of what's going on in Lebanon, and 94% of the U.S. House and Senate declare themselves to be backers of Israel, no matter what the facts may or may not be.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
si bon de partir n'importe où.
What?
Bras dessus, bras dessous. En chantant des chansons, c'est si bon de se dire des mots doux, de petits rien dis-tu, mais qui ont dix ans long.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour.
Les passants dans la rue nous
envient. A recent picture on the front page of the Independent of the UK had it was an incredible picture. It was a picture of a mother and her son, both drenched in blood, and the mother was lying on the floor, obviously dying. This is on the front page of the Independent, and she had her eyes turned to her son, and as Abir Mishkas puts it, quote, the look in her eyes was of someone who knows the worst is yet to come, and that her son, who looked to be about 10 or 12 years old, would have to face a cruel life without her. The son, holding her hand, was obviously facing his own moment of shock and agony. His tears were flowing, and fear was written all over his face. The picture haunted everyone who saw the paper on that sad morning. The headline under the picture was, War Crimes? And I have to say, if that was not a war crime, then there is no place for justice in this world. And then he writes, the world's maddening and incomprehensible silence toward what is happening in Lebanon is both frightening and revolting. Why is so much killing going on without a single word of condemnation from the so-called civilized world? Don't the leaders of the free world see the images of destruction coming from the once beautiful country that was Lebanon? Don't they see the pictures we all see every day, not only from the Arabic media, but also pictures printed and circulated in their own countries by their own media? The UN report by Jan Eglin stated that one-third of the Lebanese civilians killed by Israel's attacks have been children. Why were these children killed? Were they Hezbollah fighters? When the Israeli army told people in the village of Marwahin to evacuate their homes, the villagers did exactly that. Yet while their convoy was leaving, it was hit by an Israeli F-16 fighter bomber, and 20 of them, civilians all, were killed. Why? In his article entitled The Most Dangerous Alliance in the World, Norman Solomon says the war is, quote, government criminality, high-tech terror, mass murder from the sky, end quote. He quoted a Reuters journalist in Lebanon who said, quote, as an American, I'm embarrassed and ashamed, close quote. He is not the only one to be ashamed. We should all be ashamed for living in such horrible times. But it is the civilians who are being hit and displaced. It is the civilians whose country is being destroyed. If Israel wanted to attack Hezbollah, they should have gone after it and its members, but they did not. They opted instead to destroy roads and houses and mosques. They opted to kill mothers and children. Mothers and children are easy targets. Worse still, nobody in the American government will allow even a word of support for the Lebanese people. When Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki denounced Israel's, quote, criminal, close quote, raids on Lebanon and Gaza and warned that violence could escalate across the Middle East, a group of U.S. congressmen demanded he apologize for his remarks. They threatened to cancel his scheduled address to Congress and said in a widely circulated letter that his, quote, failure to condemn Hezbollah's aggression and recognize Israel's right to defend itself raises serious questions about whether Iraq, under your leadership, can play a constructive role in resolving the current crisis and bringing stability to the Middle East. Close quote. Raises serious questions. What question is more serious than the one which seeks to learn why normal people, with no responsibility for the conflict they are trapped in, have no right to live in peace, or even to live at all? This is awful, what is going on. And again, I care not. I really don't. I don't give a tinker's damn how many emails I get that say I'm an anti-Semite or who say I hate Israel, neither of which is true. I don't care. I don't care. Until I am told to shut up, even then I won't. Until I am removed from this program, one way or the other, I'll continue to call as I see it. For the simple reason that it's the Mike Malloy show, it's not somebody else's show. And if you tune into this program, you know that you're going to hear my point of view until I turn the phone over to you, which is coming up here after the next break, and we'll listen to your point of view. I can remember the first intifada back in the 80s and how shocking it was to see the images. This is why you don't see them anymore. The images of Palestinian children throwing rocks at Israeli armored personnel carriers and tanks. It's just bizarre. And I wasn't aware of what the hell was going on. You know, what is an intifada? What does that mean? What's going on? Why is this fighting going on? And so I tried to get myself educated from the Israeli point of view, the Palestinian point of view, from Jews, from Muslims, from Christians in the area. I was invited to that part of the world on the Eyewitness Israel program. I had conversations with everybody from, I've said this before, from Meir Kahana to one of the generals in the Israeli Defense Force, to peace activists in this country, peace activists in Israel. And out of all of that, of listening and questioning, listening to as much as I possibly could, I came to the conclusion that in the first intifada, what was going on was criminal. It was horrifying. And then there was a period when there was no intifada. And then Ariel Sharon, a couple of years ago, deliberately and provocatively made his trip to the Temple Mount and pretty much dared the Palestinians to react, and thus started the second intifada. So, whatever emails I get accusing me of being a Jew hater or an Israel hater or an anti-Semite, I just say screw you for writing it. You are sick and empty-headed as anyone who, like Howard Dean or Harry Reid or Bill Frist, who say that, in essence, that the Palestinians are animals and have no rights. Screw that.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. Well, that's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Thousands of U.S. troops in Iraq may not be coming back home as soon as they hoped because of continuing violence in Baghdad. A defense official speaking on the condition of anonymity said the U.S. is expected to delay the return of about 3,700 troops. The typical delay has lasted a few weeks to a couple of months. The source also added there are no plans to drop the current level of 15 combat brigades this fall, as had been previously discussed. President Bush said Tuesday that more U.S. and Iraqi troops will be sent to Baghdad from other parts of Iraq to try and curb sectarian violence in the capital. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has insisted his country is a front line in the war on terrorism. Priscilla Huff reports from Washington.
Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki was hoping to emphasize the good news about his struggling nation to a joint session of the U.S. Congress, the voice of a translator.
Our nascent democracy faces numerous challenges and impediments, but our resolve is unbreakable, and we will overcome them.
But midway through his speech, he heard the opinion that things are not going well. Medea Benjamin of the anti-war group Code Pink was hustled out of the packed chamber following her protest. Nouri al-Maliki calmly continued his speech, asking the keepers of the American federal purse strings for more money for reconstruction. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is warning Iran and Syria not to interfere with efforts to end almost 3 weeks of Middle East violence. Speaking to reporters while flying to Malaysia from a meeting in Rome to discuss the violence, Rice said, quote, "This needs to be between Lebanon and Israel." She urged Iran and Syria not to torpedo attempts to stop the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. Rice said Syria backs Hezbollah and should not be allowed to influence events in Lebanon. Foreign ministers from the U.S., the Middle East, and Europe did agree on the need for an international military force with a U.N. mandate to secure the border between Lebanon and Israel. Too much exposure to the sun can be deadly. According to the World Health Organization, as many as 60,000 people die each year from too much sun. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. Oh, this is awful. Somebody just sent this to me. This is from TwinCities.com. Pioneer Press out there. Norm Coleman Sr., the father of Minnesota's junior senator, was cited for lewd and disorderly conduct Tuesday after police officers reported finding him engaged in a sex act in a car near a pizzeria on East 7th Street in St. Paul. A police report said officers were called to Savoy Inn about 6:30 p.m. to investigate a report that two people were having sex in a car. The police report stated a woman, Patricia Marie Schrag, 38, also was cited for lewd and disorderly conduct. The elder Coleman, 81, raised his son in New York City. He has since moved to Minnesota, and public records indicate he lives in St. Paul. Senator Coleman issued a statement after learning of the citation against his father. Quote, I love my father dearly. I do not condone his actions or behavior, and I'm deeply disturbed by what I've learned. He clearly has some issues that need to be dealt with, and I encourage him to seek the necessary help. End quote. What issues?
Viagra?
I mean, what issues? Rush Limbaugh goes down to Dominican Republic to get his ashes hauled and gets caught with a couple of Viagra pills in his pocket coming back. The only problem I see here, I don't know, is the elder Coleman married? Is he committing adultery here? If not, the only problem I see is he did it in a car. Somebody ought to tell this dude, look, no, no, get a room. You know, what's your problem here? Now, this, I'm not saying this has anything to do with what we were talking about earlier this evening about Republican family values seem a little bit skewed every once in a while. Especially those Republican men who love to have sex with their daughters or their stepdaughters and drive them to acts of murder and suicide, which certainly is not what the elder Mr. Coleman is doing here. What's wrong with an 81-year-old man having sex with a 38-year-old woman? I can't think of a thing. Can you?
Where can I get me one of them?
Well, an 81-year-old man, you're getting close to it right now, sweetheart. All right.
You're a little young for me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right, let's do some phone calls if you would like. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. We left out Jonathan Tessini, the anti-war candidate who is challenging in the Democratic primary. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton said this week that Israel, quote, had committed many acts of brutality and violations of human rights and torture, end quote. Well, there goes Mr. Tessini's political career. Goodbye, Jonathan. Nice to have known you. You don't speak the truth regarding Israeli foreign policy in this country. You dare not. You absolutely dare not. If you're a member already elected of the United States House or Senate, you get your ass on board and get a resolution passed very quickly that celebrates Israel, not condemns it, no matter what the state of Israel does. That is the way it is in the United States. If you do otherwise, you are an anti-Semite, you are a Jew hater, you want to see Israel thrown into the sea, you're a Nazi, blah, 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 blah. If you try to take an even-handed approach regarding Israel and its neighbors, and everybody in that part of the country hates of the world hates everybody else, let's not pretend otherwise. But if you take or attempt to take an even-handed approach, you are an evil hater of Jews. And we're not going to speak to you. That's the way it is. You know that's the way it is. If you're listening to this program right now, I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, gay or straight, black or white, man or woman. I don't care. You know what I just said is the utter, absolute truth. You do not criticize anything regarding Israeli foreign policy. Nothing. Ever. Unless you are willing to take the risk of having, what, your career ended? Your reputation shattered? You know it. You know it's true. I know it's true. So now Hillary Clinton's opponent in the primary, of course, Hillary was just fell all over herself, stepped on her own thighs to get out there in front of this story. Her one of her representatives, Howard Wolfson, a Clinton spokesman, said that what Tassini said is, quote, outrageous, offensive, and beyond the pale, end quote. In a telephone interview from Israel, Malcolm Henlon of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations called Mr. Tassini's comments, quote, stunning, end quote. Mr. Homeland said of Mr. Tassini, his ignorance is appalling. Okay.
Oh, he just made the short list of people I'm going to get back on the show again very quickly.
Well, I think we ought to have him on and ask him. You are being criticized. You are... for what you said, that the Israel had, quote, committed many acts of brutality and violations of human rights and torture, close quote. Yeah, I think we should get him on the program. Absolutely. And just ask him, why did you say that, other than the fact that it's true, knowing that that this ends your political career? Ends it. It's over. Jonathan, if you have a website, close it down, return your contributions, get rid of your letterhead, close down the office, and go find work somewhere, because your political career just hit a brick wall at about 90 miles an hour. You're finished, pal. You're toast.
It just so happens that his new webmaster is a friend of ours up in New York, a photographer friend of ours that took some pictures of you, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the photographer who took the picture of me that's at AirAmericaRadio.com. And how is he connected to Jonathan Tassini?
He and his wife are redesigning his website.
Oh, working on, okay, well.
So don't shut it down just yet.
Well, it'll be shut down within the next 10 days. Well, okay, it won't be shut down, but it might as well be.
Let's support this guy as long as we can.
Support... Shiv Mort. The fact, all I'm saying is, he made a factual statement, and in this country, when you make those sorts of factual statements, that's it. It's over. Forget about it. That's why do you suppose that every single, with 10 or 12 exceptions, every single Democrat in the U.S. House and the Senate, along with every single Republican, with the exception of Ron Paul, fell all over themselves to pass it. Nobody asked for a resolution. Did Israel call everybody up and say, hey, we want a resolution that supports what we're doing 100%. If you don't give it to us, we're going to fire you all? What is this? What is this? Oh, I know. I'm not supposed to talk about this. I'm supposed to keep my little yap shut. You know, I can talk about liberal issues, but I dare not talk about or criticize Israeli foreign policy, even though I have said time and time again that when I feel it needs criticism from somebody as ineffective as a talk show host, that would be me, I'll do so. And if Air America doesn't like it, they can fire me. If you don't like it, you can switch to another station. It's very simple. That's how this works. But it's astonishing, especially when you have people who otherwise would support the existence of the State of Israel, people like Norman Solomon, coming down harder on this issue than I am. Oh, that's right. Norman Solomon is what would be referred to as a self-hating Jew. You see, that's how they get around that. If you are not Jewish, then you're an anti-Semite. If you are a Jew and you criticize Israel's foreign policy, then you are a self-hating Jew. It's just unbelievable to me. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Let's do some phone calls here. Marge is checking in from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
Hi there. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
It's not what I started out with, but if I may back up just a tad. When I went to pick up my meds over the weekend, the pharmacist gave me a couple of pages of stuff I'm going to have to send to you. But in part, it said that of late, there's more money spent on breast implantations and Viagra than there is on Alzheimer's.
Wow.
Which, as a result, by the year 2040, there'll be a whole bunch of old people that have perky boobs and huge erections, and they won't know what to do with them.
Well, by the way, thanks for the card you sent for Molly. That was
fairly welcome.
Perky boobs, and how about Norm Coleman's dad? Did you hear that?
Yeah, well, that's where I was going. That's what reminded me of that, you know. And I thought, well, I hadn't planned on telling you about that on the air, and there's other parts to it that I'm going to have to copy and send to you. But
I don't think the police should have arrested him. They should have stood outside the car and applauded him.
81. What the hell, you know?
And his girlfriend's 38.
What I was thinking of was Onassis and Jackie Kennedy.
That's true. There you go. There's another summer, fall, winter, spring thing. Or the Mike Malloy and Kathy Bay. But anyway, the real reason you called in.
But anyway, interesting things that are going on in Chicago that sort of might be of interest to other people is the city council today passed on a vote of 35-14, which is a veto proof, but not that Richie Daley's going to veto it, I don't know, a minimum wage for big box stores of $10 salary and $3 in benefits.
Well, that's going to be declared unconstitutional. That was already declared unconstitutional in, where was it, in New Jersey?
Well, somewhere. The thing of it is, the next step is that Walmart is going to, go to court and file suit or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. You know, the other thing is that just last week, the same city of Chicago that doesn't want to grant, minimum wage, a living wage to most people, rank and file, as poor people, gave some kind of benefit to United Airlines so they would relocate their main office in downtown Chicago instead of Elk Grove Village or wherever the hell they're at.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, these kind of benefits, and God knows Bush is handing out tax cuts left, right, and sideways, corporate welfare, but when it comes time for the little guy to earn a living wage, why, we can't do that. That's against the 14th Amendment.
You know what's going on, Marge, and no matter how we spin it, it's an attempt by certain people in this country, in this government, to return us to a feudal state.
Uh-huh.
Feudalism worked great for the landowners and the barons and the princes and the king. And it was hell on the serfs, but it took the Magna Carta and certain documents like that to finally bring it to an end. But if you scratch a Republican or a conservative deep enough, which by that I mean about a millimeter below the skin, you find an overwhelming lust for those days when everybody knew their place. You were born into your place and you stayed in your place.
Yes. Class society, what the untouchables, is that what they call them in India or whatever?
Yeah.
The other thing that got me going the other day and what started me calling was this thing. Did you see, I don't know where it's from, Mexico, I believe, that met up with W, and he's already lost at least one leg. I'm not sure to the extent of his injuries, but he's not a U.S. citizen. So he says to W, he really liked to be a U.S. citizen. So by an executive order, Bush made him one. Now, I don't say that there's anything wrong with anybody who puts on the uniform of the United States military be granted U.S. citizenship. Boy, you look at all those people that they got, 11 million of them that would be ready for the Army. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, I saw the story on that. There were three soldiers who re-upped, even though they all were going to go back to Iraq. Kathy showed me the story, even though they're missing limbs now. And they were all three, there wasn't just one, it was three of them. They were all given U.S. citizenship or put in the fast lane or whatever. And it was just a hideous story because there is Bush standing there, And you just want to scream exploitation. You just want to scream, how dare you do this
you
to
think,
these men?
I mean, he does everything on his own. Go to Congress. What the hell are they there for?
I hear you. Hey, listen, we got to leave it there. Thanks, Marge.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Julie emails in, you may want to know that Jonathan Tessini is Jewish. I'm a New York City Jew who helped gather signatures to get him on the ballot, and I couldn't be more proud of him right now. Signed, Julia. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys, and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Oreck XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Oreck XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.